Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. It's 12-5, I believe.
Yes.
5th of December, and we're headed into 2018.
Yep.
And the market did not collapse in the year 2017.
No. A lot of people are wrong. They said it was going to happen.
So, well, you know, we still got a few weeks left, but.
Well, things aren't looking that great. I mean, we saw that, not that, you know, even if it goes down 10%, we still have a good year. So it's not that big of a deal. But we had some action last week. Some good action last week.
Yeah.
So
I'm
noticing, though, that, you know, we all heard about this, the algos, the machines.
Algos.
Yeah. They're all taking over. But it was very clear over the last week how these algos, you know, these tape reading algos are really working it. We saw that just minutes after or seconds after the Michael Flynn guilty plea about lying to the FBI and this whole thing, Dow cranked down like 350 points.
Yeah. How's that work?
Yeah. I mean, everybody's at work going, oh, look at that. Call my broker or sell on my, you know, on my iPhone. It doesn't happen like that. It's all the algos. And then, of course, we saw the ramp start to happen when there was some confusion about what Michael Flynn was going to say, what was going to happen. And then.
Yeah, well, it started off as a false report.
It was a true report with false components, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it was a true report. I mean, he was pleaded guilty, but it was Brian Ross at ABC who put in the bogus information that sunk the market.
Yeah, exactly. So from there, there's some problems with my upgrades on computers are not good. I'm just saying that. But then we saw the ramp start. We saw that the Senate announced that they would have the votes for the tax bill. And of course that Flynn, you know, turnaround on the report from ABC. And I know you covered that on No Agenda pretty well with, some of the crazy antics of people cheering when this happened and getting all excited about the news that they finally got Trump.
Yeah.
We got him funny. This time. But it's kind of what's going on right now.
What happened? Like a comic book.
It is. Well, you know, they're trying hard. We'll see what happens here. But now they're getting his tax returns, or not his tax returns, his broker or his financials and his bank account information from Deutsche Bank.
Yeah, we that may be bogus too.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with all this. But it does remind me a little bit of what's going on now with what happened Friday in particular. With, you remember those times back during the financial crisis when we saw that, you know, things weren't doing well, banks were falling apart, and then you'd have the constant focus on Congress and the senators and the representatives would come out. Oh, the cavalry is here. We're going to save you. And, you know, they talk about some kind of package for bailouts and then it wouldn't happen and it would happen. And markets were just all over the place throughout the day.
Yeah, the good old days.
But now, you know, the government just can't stop screwing around with all sorts of packages. And, you know, clearly there's, I mean, I think there's more risk in the market right now than ever before with all this going on towards the end of the year. But the VIX doesn't say that too clearly.
The VIX seems to have its head up its ass.
Yeah, the VIX is 11.5. It was 14.75 when this whole downstroke happened. It's just the problem is that you have all these strategies that are selling volatility. So the whole strategy of the last 5 years has been every time there's a pop, we sell it. And they've been making a lot of money doing that. There's a pop and they sell it. Maybe they say, well, if it goes down below 10 or so, we'll close the position and then wait for it to pop again and then sell it. And this goes on and on and on. And this is why the VIX has just not seen any kind of significant move. It just can't. No. It keeps on getting pressured by massive amounts of money shorting it. Now, with that being said, which I hate saying that, by the way, with that said, or to his point, the one of these days, these strategies are going to get caught with their pants around their ankles. Because you'll see a major move up.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then all hell's going to break loose. You'll see a massive short short squeeze, and it'll be pretty wild. It may last only a short amount of time, but then you'll have, even right now, we're seeing that the VIX is elevated compared to where it's been the last few months.
Yeah. Yeah, it was not, I always think of it as at 9 perpetually.
Yeah. And we've seen, by the way, in the last few days, a 3 days of the S&P being down, which is kind of interesting. The NASDAQ has been really, there's been a real interesting rotation trade going on where the NASDAQ and the large cap growth and tech stocks, which have been the clear winners this year, just getting killed the last number of days.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, the NASDAQ was up about 65 points at one time during the day. And then we saw some selling happening. And then the S&P went red. The Dow Jones went red. The Dow Jones, I think the futures were up about 65 points earlier in the before the market opened. Market opened, things were good, and all of a sudden started going down, and the Dow closed down 100 points. NASDAQ dipped into the red late afternoon, but then popped up a bit. But this has been an interesting kind of rotation that's going on, and I think a lot of it has to do with this whole the tax bill and what's going on. We'll talk about that in a second. But one of the things we've seen is a lot of the winners have been rotated out of. We've seen the underperformers and the losers of the year being rotated into, for example, big box retailers. Have you seen those stocks?
You know, not in the last week.
Like Macy's and Kohl's and, Dillard's.
Yeah, weren't they getting killed?
Yeah, but the last few weeks have been gorgeous. You all right?
A little tea. Nagging cough.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, I think Macy's up, 25-30% in the last few weeks. We've seen the same thing across the board with retail. Even Target, there was a day Target was up like 9% after there was disappointing earnings kind of a few days later. And everybody's like, retail's not dead. The mall's not dead. There's some hope for all these companies. And all of a sudden things really got going. And then FANG, though, got hit hard. People are taking profits. And I think that's because they're concerned about maybe this FIFO accounting in the tax law. Have you seen this?
No.
FIFO stands for first in, first out.
Right.
So what happens is if I buy Apple at $5 years ago and then I buy it again at $25 and maybe I buy it at $100. When I go to sell it under the new tax law, what's going to happen is the first in, so my $5 purchase is the first one out. I'll have to take the profit on the lowest cost basis.
Ah.
Or if that's the circumstance, the first one. It could be reversed too. But somebody that has a stock for a long period of time over the last number of years with a very low basis that they bought it at will have to pay higher taxes. Now, there's some ways to get around that. For example, we figured you could actually open up multiple brokerage accounts. So let's say I have the same situation.
Oh, right. That would be the way to do it. And that's what that would encourage more action, more broker. Yeah, I think there's something. The brokers will make out on this because they're going to have multiple accounts from everybody.
Right. So you put the $5 in one account, the $50 in another account.
Every time you trade it, you trade with a different broker.
Yeah. So you don't have, so it's just recognized as that trade lot.
Right.
Pain in the ass. I hope that doesn't happen with our clients because that would be a real pain to open up multiple. Yeah. Oh, that would be terrible. But I put a chart up here over on DH Unplugged under the show notes for episode number 385. That shows the differential this year with the large cap value and the large cap growth. Now, this is a percentage change chart, and it goes back to the beginning of this year. The blue line represents the large cap Russell 1000 growth index, and the green line represents the large cap Russell value index.
Uh-huh.
That's a big differential.
Yes, huge.
The growth is your healthcare and your tech and your utilities and your staples, things like that are in your value. But notice what's happened. We saw this big spike up in the last several days for the value.
Yeah, it was floating around 6%.
Mm-hmm.
It spiked up to 10.1. This is a very interesting chart.
If you actually put it a little bit further, I think this was done earlier. If you actually pulled it a little bit further, I think the growth would be actually a little bit lower than this. In other words, it rolled over a little bit more.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So what's happening? I mean, I think it's I think it's this issue of the tax bill that, and they screwed up a few things. You know, they passed that bill at what, 2 a.m.?
I thought, yeah, something like that, or 5 in the morning. I don't know. It was late.
So a couple of things they screwed up. So this is like, I view it as a surgeon that got into the operating room on a patient. So the patient is the economy and the individuals and the taxpayers, et cetera. The surgeons are all the, the senators and Congress people and all that. And in the gallery up top is all the lobbyists. Can you imagine this?
I'm watching, yeah.
Now, each surgeon, there's a bunch of surgeons, each have a different idea what to do. Hey, you know, clip that thing, cut that out, change that over here. You know, just give them drugs, whatever. And the guys up top are, hey, use my device, that will fix them. Give them this medication, that will fix them. And they're all kind of throwing in things and giving ideas. And meanwhile, they do it and they just kind of get it done. But then they forget a few sponges inside the patient. This is what happened with the tax bill. So...
it's a good analogy.
First, what they do is they keep the overseas profits, the repatriation, they tax them at 14.5% versus the 10% that was supposed to be the case. The House is at 14%. Somehow, the corporate AMT was left in there. They forgot. They were supposed to repeal it. And they, you know, in their haste, they forgot to take it out because they were all just throwing in handwritten and very last minute pork barrel stuff to get away with all that. You know, late at night, everybody's like, forget it, just pass it already. And then they had a phase out of corporate expenditures after 5 years, where we're supposed to have 100% of expensing for the full 5 years. There's a few other things there too, like the estate tax, it's maybe repealed, it's a cap and SALT and the state and local income tax. Anyway, there was a few things in there that was like, what do you guys do? And very clearly that it was a sloppily done effort just to get it done. So now we got to go to the reconciliation phase. And I mean.
Well, they, for all practical purposes, the committee that puts together the dual bill for passage can rewrite the whole thing.
Yeah, but don't they have to then. What's the next stage? They have to vote on it again?
I believe that they've both passed it, and then they go to this section of reconciliation where they make the bills kind of work together. So they take this guy's this, and then they put this in, and they take that out, and then they put a thing. And then it's not really – most of the time it's not really voted on. It's just passed. It's like they do – somebody comes up in front of the Senate or the House and – makes a few comments and then they slam the gavel and the deal's done. I have to go kill this phone call. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, so basically right now it also seems that they're trying to actually keep this at 20%. There's some discussion of 22% corporate tax rate. They need to take out the corporate AMT to make it work. But it seems though that no matter what happens, President Trump is going to, sign it. Whatever the bill is, he'll sign it.
Oh, yeah. No, he promised he would.
It doesn't matter how good or bad it is either.
No, it could be a complete piece of crap and he'll sign it.
He said he'll do it.
No, he's got to sign something.
Yeah.
I mean, he signs stuff, but it's all minor stuff. There's not anything big. Yeah. This will be the only big thing he signed.
So here's an idea and something to talk about. And I saw just a touch of this already starting to come up through the murmurs of the news. With the U.S. cutting tax rates, with the United States cutting it down to 20% for the idea of making it more competitive in the U.S., because a lot of countries out there have a much higher tax rate.
Or lower. They have a
much lower. We're higher. So therefore, a lot of companies are taking money offshore and they're maybe moving offices. They're doing these inversions, all the things we've talked about.
Yes.
Will other countries now follow suit and we'll see a tax rate war?
Well, some of these tax rates are pretty low as is. I don't think so. I don't think anyone can afford to do it.
Well,
I think it'd be great. It'd be funny to see a tax rate war taking place, but I don't think so.
I mean, Israel already said they're going to They're gonna drop their taxes. They're gonna talk about dropping taxes.
Yeah, but you'd have to move your company there. We'll see. I just don't see it. I don't think that these countries can afford it. They're already too low.
Well, I mean, we can't afford it either. It looks like it's going to, even with the dynamic scoring, we're going to be a $1.5 trillion in the hole in this deal.
Right.
That's even with, you know, and Goldman's saying we're only going to get maybe 0.8% growth out of this. And
if that,
yeah.
It takes a long time for these things. It's like a, you know, the Queen Mary, it doesn't turn on a dime.
But we've seen this before. We know that this doesn't really work very well.
It makes everybody happy.
Yeah, I guess so. There's definitely a lot of people also in the lower income brackets which will possibly be paying more.
I think that's a myth.
I saw all the numbers from the CBO and another nonpartisan party that scores it, and it looks like, you know, under 50,000 you may be paying more.
Well, we'll see. It'd be something to complain about.
Yeah. This also, you know, another note about algos and being careful about news headlines. So Nokia, there was a news item that came out last week after the close one of the nights that said that Nokia was in talks to acquire Juniper Networks. CNBC reported that the Finnish company was preparing a $16 billion offer for the network equipment maker. Stock popped like 20%.
Juniper?
Yeah. And then it was, the rumor was squashed and said that wasn't true after Nokia came out and says, no, that is not happening. We are not in, they listed a few things. We're not in acquisition. We're not in takeover. We're not in merger. We're not in, you know, they gave a whole list of things what they're not doing. And the stock came all the way down and then went down even further. Question is, who's checking the validity of the stories? Just like the ABC situation. This is the rush to get them out, right?
I'm wondering about a lot of this myself. It's very sloppy. These guys getting this information over drinks at the bar, you know, after lunch.
Ah, could be. Little toddy, and then I got a little something for you.
Maybe. I mean, you know, it's market manipulation, potentially. I mean, remember that years ago, I don't know how many, it was maybe 15, maybe longer, that guy who used to do Herd on the Street in the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, Alan, yeah, and then he was kicked.
Yeah, because he was planting bullcrap stories to for his buddies to manipulate the market with.
Right. Yeah, he was like a guy that you would really watch all the time. He had the information. When he came out with something, you're like on it and watched it. And then it was later found out that he was giving information to people, and it was bad.
And yeah, that was in advance.
That was it for him.
Yeah, he would say that tomorrow I'm going to write about this, and then they'd buy that day. And then when he said something, the stock would pop, they'd get out.
Yeah, his last name started with a D. Dorfman, Dan Dorfman.
No, this wasn't about Dorfman. This is a different guy.
Oh.
I think Dorfman got busted for something too, but I don't think that was this. This was Dorfman, everybody did read him. I did too. But no, this was specific to the Wall Street Journal. Dorfman was a syndicated columnist.
Ah, okay.
But it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah. JP Morgan at the Goldman Sachs Financial Services Conference, they talked about how their trading was down 15%. So stock trading, et cetera, was down about 15% in quarter four. It looks like 15% for the year, but they're, of course, confident that things will improve. And I guess I was thinking about this as I was going through this. I guess the curse of the passive investor, of the lazy investor. Just put it into an ETF and let it go.
Yeah, that's pretty lazy.
I mean, people used to be so much more active and looking. You don't have to research anything anymore. You just buy the index, be done with it. You know, why bother even looking at and taking the time to spend the time and looking at a variety of financials and looking at the charts and all that.
Too much work.
Yeah, just put it into there. And that's going to be a problem, though. We've talked about this, this whole passive investing thing. These types of trends they always end and then something else takes over, whatever that may be. But this is not going to last forever.
This
massive, I mean, some passive investing, yes. I mean, I like passive investing for certain areas of the market, but it's a little bit much. Let's take a check here. Bitcoin at 995, all-time high right now.
Closing, it's always at an all-time high.
Yeah, no, that is a good point there. So no matter, even if it's a lower, it's at an all-time high. Let's see. 11996. I don't know if it.
Did you listen to the No Agenda show where we played a clip of a guy trying on the CNBC trying to sell some Bitcoin?
No.
Oh, you should.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, that was Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw. Kelly, yeah. I saw the video where he's like, "Sell." It's like, "Nope, can't sell." Nope, I'll try to buy.
Yeah, I think you buy.
He was actually doing it on. I can't believe him. He's a real knowledgeable guy about Bitcoin and blockchain. And I can't believe he was buying it on the site that he was buying it, which is just a two-bit site for it's Coinbase, but that's not the site you want to actually trade on. It doesn't give you any real options. It's their watered-down Bitcoin and high commission Bitcoin trading site. Huh. So there's plenty of others that are a lot better out there.
Well, I missed it when it was at a nickel. So what am I going to do?
All right, hold on. 12,000. 12,000 and holding strong. Well, let's talk about this whole Bitcoin craze for a minute. It's getting kind of a bit crazier. Over the weekend, there was a drop at one point. I was working at the office on Saturday, and I had my different charts open. The only thing that's actually trading on a Saturday is Bitcoin. So it's kind of up there. And all of a sudden, it just starts rolling over. Dropped about 1,000 points really quickly. And it turns out there was some news that England was looking to regulate the Bitcoin and possibly other cryptos. So,
well, I hope somebody regulates these things.
But what's interesting is that you've probably seen this. Is headlines related to Bitcoin. Any financial, well, not only financial side, but anywhere you go. As a matter of fact, in the Jerome Powell confirmation hearings, they talked about Bitcoin. How crazy is that?
Well, I was watching some of those hearings, but I didn't see that part. That's interesting.
Yeah, it was towards the end. He talked about Bitcoin.
What did he say?
He didn't have much to say. He said, he thinks that he doesn't really follow it that much. He doesn't look like it should be regulated at this point, but it's fun to watch.
Yeah, well, I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah. But what I did is I pulled some Google Trends today.
Okay.
So take a look at these charts. The Google Trends Bitcoin, first of all. And you can see the mentions and interest over time. And clearly over the last few months, the interest has spiked dramatically. It's been going up since the end of the year or beginning of the year. But the spike has been dramatic. And this is what's interesting is that dotted line is their projected. I don't know how they get that, but that's their projected move next in terms of the interest. I don't know why they do that.
Maybe when it spikes like that, it follows the same pattern.
Yeah, possible.
But it looks like, it's funny, this chart looks like the Bitcoin stock chart.
Yeah, of course. That's exactly what it is. Same thing.
It's very funny.
Parabolic. The next chart I thought was even more interesting and a lot more concerning. See if you could pick out what made the hair on the back of my neck stand up.
Oh, okay.
This is now interest by region.
Oh, that Nigeria's number one?
Yeah. Oh, God. How bad is that?
Yeah, well, these guys are the scam masters.
Nigeria is the number one, followed by what, South Africa?
South Africa, Slovenia. I don't know why Slovenia. Ghana and Bolivia. This is very strange. Interest by region. Well, we're saturated, so I don't think we're going to get the kind of bump that these guys are getting.
But it does concern me that Nigeria. And on one hand, you could say that, okay, these countries may have a reason they want to get their money out of the local currency into something else. So I'll go along with that. But again, every time that Nigeria pops up, it just scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, well, Nigeria is, most of their gross national product, domestic national product, whatever you want to call it, is from scams. It's actually a fact.
Is that a line item in their GDP number?
I don't know. It might be because they don't really do anything to dissuade it because it does bring a lot of money into the country.
That's like a few years ago to make things look better. Italy added prostitution and drugs as a
lineup. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, talked about it.
Gotta love it. All right, now gold can't seem to get any legs, which is often used as a hedge in portfolios historically as a non-correlation and non-correlated asset to markets. The question, of course, is that is the one of the reasons that while there is some concern on a geopolitical front, and there are places that are looking to get their cash out into something that has inflation protection, all the things that gold is supposed to do, will cryptocurrencies be used as this instead of, you know, instead of gold as a way to diversify once it gains further acceptance? I think that's...
The world's gone crazy.
Yeah. Bitcoin futures are going to be trading live on December 10th. I've already seen some emails from my various brokers that are trying to pump it.
Oh, God.
And the biggest news is the Winklevoss twins are believed to hold upwards of $1 billion of Bitcoin. They started with $11 million after their Facebook settlement.
So they were picking up the Bitcoins at what, $100?
I think even less than that.
Oh, yeah, it must have been less. Well, they were smart if they did this, but I'd like to see them get out.
Yeah, they were the first ones trying to form a couple years ago a Bitcoin ETF, and that didn't work. And but they've been they've been big proponents.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Mm.
So we're getting towards the end of the year, and you know what that means. It means that we're going to start to see the two things.
The predictions.
The predictions and the look back shows.
Oh, yeah. That's a good way to kill time. I do them all the time. I do them myself.
So,
what did we learn from 2017?
Right. Top 10.
What are we going to expect from 2018? Right. What can we expect from 2018 that's different than 2017?
Right.
And my all-time favorite is, let's look back at the predictions of 2017 and see how wrong they were. I got all of them nailed.
What's interesting, though, is that, you know, we'll see these pundits start to come out with all their predictions. They'll come out with, you know, I think the S&P is going to hit 2750 and the Dow Jones is going to hit, you know, 26,500, whatever the numbers are. What's interesting is they're always bullish. You know, rarely do you find somebody that's not, you know, if the S&P is at 2,600, oh, it's going to be down 2,350. Never, never. No. But what's also interesting is that they're never wrong. You know why? Because they keep adjusting their numbers throughout the year.
Yeah.
To make them, you know, well, we thought it would be worth this, but it moved up that much.
Yeah, they always have the great reasons why it didn't do exactly what they said.
Right. So crazy. Okay, this is not working.
So you got, you know, one of the things on the list is Jerome Powell, who was approved by the Senate Banking Committee. But you didn't mention that Elizabeth Warren dissented. Do we have any reason? Yeah, but I'm saying, no, I'm asking you, why?
Because she's miserable. And she hates the financial services industry, and she hates the fact that banks were bailed out, and she can't stand the fact that the Fed is basically the gatekeeper, and that you can't audit the Fed, and that there's no transparency, and they just do what they want, and they're a quasi, not even really a government agency that creates money out of thin air.
Well, she's going to vote no on everybody then.
Probably.
So she's useless. What's the point of having her on there? Have you seen that Apple commercial? And by the way, this is what I wrote about for my column, if you're interested. That Apple commercial of the little girl with the iPad Pro, and she's floating around. And at the very end, her mom says, "What are you doing on your computer?" And the little girl says, "What's a computer?"
Yeah.
You've seen that ad?
No, I heard about it on No Agenda, though.
Oh, you should. When you see it, the little girl looks like a dead ringer for a 10-year-old Elizabeth Warren.
Oh. There you go. With when the glasses, pixie curls.
Yeah, yeah, everything. Everything.
The bob.
Except. So when you see this ad, the next time you see this ad, you'll see Elizabeth Warren.
Little Lizzie.
Little Lizzie.
Little Lizzie with a little bob. So I think they need to have somebody on there. Well, how about this? How about they set it up so it doesn't look like everybody's just going to be passing and just listening and then saying, okay, throwing softballs. Because when she starts asking questions, she gets pretty pissy.
Yeah, she's pretty. Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she was asking him like,
she sometimes asks good questions, but a lot of times it's just she's just showing off. She's like showing that she can be, you know, tough.
Right. I mean, they talked about how, you know, during the banking crisis, you thought things were okay, and you said that everything was fine under the, you know, the banks were well capitalized and there was no problem up until the end when it wasn't the facts. So why do we believe you now?
You could say that about everybody in the country.
Well, but the Fed was trying to really, they supposedly should have known what was going on. They should have known the inside.
It's a myth.
You don't think they have the records, at least from the banks?
Well, I know, but I think a lot of this, I think a lot of this is mumbo jumbo. I don't think the Fed, I think the Fed has done a decent job of keeping the economy from collapsing completely. Mm-hmm. Personally, a lot mm-hmm. of people don't like the Fed at all. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of them. But I think a lot of it is just guesswork, crazy guesswork and mumbo jumbo and lucky shots. And I'm not a big fan of this, of the expertise.
Well, that should lead us right into that show segment that we have now. I don't know how long this is going to last. Fed limericks.
Yeah.
Here we go. The Fed, well, let me start here. Got to get the cadence going here. The Fed is accountable to no one. With a wave of the hand, they make rates run. Some think they are corrupt, yet will never bankrupt the banks that they treat like a grandson.
I'll give you a C for that one.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, it's because a lot of the rhymes are a little stretchy.
A little stretchy. Yeah. All right.
Next. Now, another one?
No, that was it. I just had one. It was.
You're running out of steam with this. Yeah, that was just, that's
it,
the problem.
It was a lot to get that one out.
You had hit two or three in a row. Apparently, I think you were just probably on a lark one day sitting around smoking a cigar. You came up with this, a couple of limericks that were good.
Yeah.
And then you thought you could sustain this creativity, and then it turns out you can't.
Yeah, let me repeat the one. The best one, I think, was the Yellen. There was a nice lady named Yellen who sat in her chair and was telling that inflation is low and employment too slow from a head that is shaped like a melon.
Yes, that was an outstanding product. That's an A.
Fed limericks. All right, let's go into the world of nasty corporations. Kellogg's. You wouldn't think they are slippery and slimy of any sort, right? I mean, it's Kellogg's.
No, they're not Kellogg. They used to be health food guys, and they make cereal products for kids.
Yep. So this is a story when they attempted to try to make cereals more or less sugary for their Frosties cereal. So they tried to reduce the sugar content, but it seemed like it was nobody wanted it. And if you have it labeled as a food for kids, it has to have a certain or maximum amount of sugar in mm-hmm. it. So what do? They rebranded it as an adult cereal and kept all the sugar in. That was a good play. Good play.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Yeah.
Adult cereal. Do you ever eat cereal?
No, I used to. What did I like?
I've gone back to it.
What do you? I like the
I like Raisin Bran.
Oh, Raisin Bran's good. Yeah, it's good.
It's just substantial when you eat it. You think you're getting something out of it.
Do you let it sit for a while so it all soggy?
No, I like it crunchy. I don't mind it mushy, but I prefer it crunchy. So I start plowing through it as fast as I can.
I never understood people that put orange juice in their cereal.
I've never heard of this.
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah.
Well, that's got to be gosh awful.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, at first when I saw people putting things like bacon and sausages in their grits, I was a little taken aback.
Yeah, well.
That's not as bad, though.
No.
Maybe coffee in the cereal wouldn't be. Coffee in the Raisin Bran.
I was thinking the same thing.
That wouldn't be bad.
Well, maybe.
Beer. That's it.
Beer. Yes, beer. Now you nailed it.
Beer in my Wheaties.
beer in your cereal. Kind of my idea.
All right, let's see. Russia. We have a fascination for Russia. Everybody seems they're the bad guys. Let's just get they're chaos if it was a Maxwell Smart movie, right?
Yeah.
They're smart. They can do anything. They can hack, they can win the medals. They're great at sports. It seems that Russia is just like this unbelievable country of people that just have everybody's number. So now this big investigation went on about the Olympics from 2014, the whole Winter Olympics in Sochi, and how there was all that doping that went on.
Yeah.
So now the Olympic team, I don't know if you saw this tonight, but the Olympic team, the entire Olympic team, the entire country.
Yeah, banned.
Has been banned from the 2018 Winter Games in South Korea.
Yeah.
And The company, here's what's interesting. The country's government officials are forbidden to attend. The flag,
well, I didn't know that.
The flag will not be displayed at the opening ceremony. And the anthem will not sound. Any athletes from Russia who have received some kind of special dispensation to compete will do so as individuals wearing a neutral uniform, which I don't know what that means, but just a white uniform, I suppose.
I have no idea.
And the official record books will forever show that Russia won zero medals. So even if the Russians win, if they stand up on, I suppose, if they stand up on the podium, there's no national anthem and there's not going to be a medal.
I think they should play, they should have a big white flag, you know, a sign of surrender. They should go up as the flag and they should play Yakety Sax as the anthem.
But that's pretty bad. I mean, I would think that would piss them off.
I think they should be irked.
But
and I think, by the way, I think the Russians, since they do have a lot of colorful and good athletes, and sure, maybe they're all doped up, but it adds at least some competition. I mean, what do we want to do? Why don't we just make everybody forfeit so we win everything? Is that what we're trying to do here? You know, we're behind it.
Yeah, well, probably. I'm sure of that, too. You know, this is just another, just get Russia and show them that this is probably somehow wrapped up into let's prove that Russia is really this bad country and then somehow wrap it around to Trump.
Trump, yeah.
To Trump's show that any kind of relationship obviously was with a bad company that cheats, a country that cheats.
Yeah, and Trump. Trump's a cheater.
Right, so he's the one that probably told him to dope.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what we're going to find. You know, Putin's the bad guy and Trump's the bad guy. And two bad guys. Let's see here. If you like the Liberics and if you want more or if you want less, either one, please try to donate to the show over on dhunplugged.com. Click on that little donation button. It's the end of the year. It's holiday time. We got to feed the family. We got to buy gifts. We got to get Christmas trees and Hanukkah bushes and all that stuff. So please donate to the show. You can follow John.
What's a Hanukkah bush?
That's for Jews that want to be more Christian-like, and we put up something that resembles a little something, so we feel like we're.
So it's like a Christmas tree.
It's a miniature.
But you can't say the word. Can you say it? Come on, say it.
Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Sure. Christ. So Jesus
is it
Christ.
A Christmas
sure.
tree?
It's a dwarfed Christmas tree.
Oh, it's just.
It's more of a theory than a real.
Nobody cares. Okay. Yeah.
For example.
Now, I've kind of bypassed the thing. Probably from when I was a kid, we had a very elaborate artificial tree that I don't know if you remember. I don't know what year this was even. Probably in the 50s, I guess, where the most popular artificial tree is made out of aluminum, like aluminum foil.
It was silver.
It was all aluminum. The whole tree was aluminum strips. And you'd put a bunch of lights, blast lights at the thing, and it would light up the neighborhood. I mean, this tree. And they don't have those available anymore. I've never seen one for probably 20, 30 years, but I've gone to the artificial tree.
You have?
Oh, yeah. I went a number of years ago. They were on sale because it was just before Christmas, and they had them at Target. And it's a small tree. It's only about 4 feet high, maybe 4.5. And I bought it on sale for almost nothing. And I've been using it ever since for the last probably 7 years, 6 years, maybe.
There's a
tree. Saves me. It's so much better than a tree.
How tall is it?
It's about almost 5 foot, but not quite.
5 foot. Okay. You put a little star on the top. You dangle it. Do you have like a whole event in the house? Like, oh, we're decorating the tree.
No, one of the kids, I either a volunteer or I assigned one of the kids to do it. And this year it was Jay, my daughter. So she rearranged the whole room, put the tree up, put the lights on it, put the bulbs on it. Everybody does it a little differently every year. Mm-hmm. It's kind of creative. So it looks terrific.
Mm. One of the trends.
But you don't have the fire hazard. You don't have the needles all over the place. You don't have the sap that gets in the rug. You don't have to dispose of the tree. I'm telling you.
I always thought the biggest nuisance for Christmas trees that I recall was the tinsel. It just gets everywhere.
Yeah, the tinsel's bad. Or if you ever have a flocked tree.
What is that?
The flocked tree, which we had, I think we had one once. The phlox tree is sprayed with gunite or something. The whole tree is sprayed with this crazy stuff. And it's looks like it's snow. It looks like it's snowed on the tree. It's called phlox. You can look it up. Phlox trees. They're not as popular as they used to be.
Well, the thing that's going on this year that I saw, and I don't know if you've seen this, and I don't understand it. And it almost seems sacrilegious to me, is the upside down tree.
Oh, you know, I've only heard about this. Is this a thing?
I guess it's a thing. You know,
and what's the point?
It's like everything else. This generation needs to, first of all, take everything that has a name and change it. You know, you can't call anything. This has been going on for a number of years, but it's really heated up recently where any particular kind of, you know, you can't say certain, you can't say somebody has Asperger's. You have to say they're on the spectrum. You know, you can't say, there's all sorts of things.
You know, this began when I was a kid with the garbage man becoming the sanitary specialist or whatever it was.
Right. Right.
It's not new. The trend has been long since established.
But it seems like it's gotten worse. It's almost like they're replacing the entire dictionary for names and any kind of social, something that they don't like.
So what did they change?
They got an upside down tree.
Like a nuisance. Will they have to hang it? Does it have to be hung by a rope?
It has some kind of base or something. I don't know. Go look up upside down tree on the internet. You'll find it.
Okay.
I just don't understand it all. Now, by the way, not only do we have a Hanukkah bush in theory to make us feel better, but of course we don't have Santa. So we have Hanukkah Harry.
Hanukkah Harry?
Yeah. My parents used to say Hanukkah Harry's coming tonight. I'm like, oh, great. What do we give him? We give him a knish? What do we put down by the fireplace? What do I do? Put a little schmaltz? Put a little bit of gefilte fish? What do I put down there? What do I do? You know?
Yeah.
Hanukkah Harry. All right, here we go.
I never heard that, by the way.
Yeah. All right, so just to let you know, we do have running. For those people, I'm going to mention their names again. For those people that are in the finalists, or are the finalists for the Close to the Pin Cup for 2017, where you guess the price of the Dow Jones Industrial Average on the end date. You can go over to, it's kind of open for everybody because I couldn't figure this out. So if you're there, we'll make sure that everybody else is removed. If you're not on this list, don't go over there and put the price in because it's just going to make me remove you and more work. But you got Rick Harris, Christopher Malik, Warren Schilling, Roman Chernish, PJ Lethane, Kyle Bird, Matthew Phillips, Fred Kieber, Sam Luang, and Nikolov. It sounds like that. That's
Sam Luang, is he from Canada?
I don't know.
He's like a no agenda guy. He's like one of our knights.
Hey, maybe. And Nikolov. It sounds like
that's a good Russian name.
Yeah, it sounds like a cough drop from
Nikolov.
Nikolov. All right, let's see what we got here. Let's keep going down the list. Okay, we have some listener questions come in. I tweeted it out tonight and said, hey, give me some questions. So
let me read the questions and you answer them.
Okay.
Because you'd be the guy to get answer this stuff.
Let me just mention that Bitcoin is now at 12,150.
Oh, it's in a roll.
And for whatever reason, markets are rolling. I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah, and by the way, if you sell one Bitcoin, it drops to 11,000. Okay, here we go. What companies are good to invest in for blockchain?
So the blockchain, I mean, I don't think there is any one company. I was thinking about this. There's no one company. I mean, if you want to invest in IBM, they have blockchain. If you want to invest in some of the financials, they're dealing with blockchain. There's companies like, many of them that are saying they're related, little guys that are saying they're related to blockchain, like what's it called? Not Social Realty, Social Reality, and Zoomi, Xnet, and a few other ones. Yeah. I mean, there's just the blockchain is just, I don't think there's any company that is like a specialist in blockchain, but a lot of companies will be using it because basically it's a open source deal. So I don't really know if there's a particular company out there for that.
That's a long way. What's the outlook for muni bonds?
So this is coming to both of us, this question. What's our outlook? And I'll just tell you that there is a concern for muni bonds in terms of this new tax deal, because there's some components which, again, we don't know the end answer to this, but that possibly certain revenue bonds are going to be taxed. So in municipalities, you have two types of bonds. You have general obligation bonds, which are those that are backed by the full faith and credit of the municipality. And those are tax-free, of course. And basically, they're a much stronger bond because they're backed by the full taxing power of the city, the state, whatever it is. A revenue bond is like, deals with infrastructure. Deals with like a bridge toll road or a highway or some other kind of transportation or maybe a water utility. Now, what's interesting is if they're going to tax those bonds, the revenue bonds that deal with infrastructure, doesn't that go against the whole idea of making a greater infrastructure play here? Because it's going to be harder for these.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's stupid. Well, my take on the whole thing is there's going to be a bond crash this year and munis are going to be hurt.
Okay. I wouldn't disagree with that. I think this is going to be terrible for there'll be a 2 cent word bifurcation of bonds. So general obligation bonds will be in vogue and the other ones will get hit. Aside from the fact that there could be.
Well, I think a lot of communities are going to go bankrupt and they'll take care of the general obligation bond too.
Probably. Yep. All right.
Okay. Is this a sell the news event? You're talking about our show?
I think they're talking about the tax plan.
Oh.
I thought it was going to be, I said this last week, that I thought that it would be interesting that there would be a big run-up into the tax bill and afterwards there's nothing left to be excited about.
Maybe. That's reasonable. It's not unusual.
Yeah, I mean, this would play right into that.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
All right, what is the difference, advantages, disadvantages between gold bullion ETFs and gold-based mutual funds? What sorts of differences would you expect during an economic decline or dollar crisis?
That's a
very interesting question.
It's interesting. I don't think there's much of a difference. If you have gold bullion ETFs and you have gold-based mutual funds, they should be investing in the same thing. The one thing I'll tell you
is gold.
The one thing is that gold-based mutual funds price their portfolio at 4 p.m. every day, once per day. Gold bullion ETFs price themselves throughout the day. So it's reflective of the price. Gold bullion ETFs may have some liquidity issues during the day if there's a big run on them, or could see a big move up if there's some kind of situation that goes on where mutual funds don't have that.
I would expect an economic decline. I think these things would do well.
You would think.
I mean, technically, that's what they're supposed to, that's what they're for.
Yeah, and that's you'll see that on the game later. That's one of the things I have on there.
Yeah. All right. What else we got here?
Yeah, you talk about the next thing because I got to talk about the alphabet there.
What are the? I don't have a next question.
No, next question, but you're the next topic.
Oh, about the Alphabet's Google pulled support for its YouTube video service from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about that?
I mean, basically, I guess they're all pissed off because they're not allowing. You know, Amazon is trying to do their own thing, like with their Nest and all that. And what's happening is that they're, Google's like, hey, you know what? We're not going to put this on your platform. So I'm
not sure what that. I didn't know that there was YouTube video service from Amazon.
No, the YouTube video service is on an Amazon device.
Oh, you mean the Fire?
Yeah, it's on any of their devices. And because Amazon Prime Video is not being available through Google Gadgets and through Google's devices and Google something or other, they're saying, screw you. Okay.
I didn't know this was going on.
Yeah.
Huh.
And we had this before. And usually what happens is they cave. They'll probably cave.
They'll both cave.
Yeah. According to top Irish officials, Apple has agreed to reserve around $15.4 billion in back taxes.
Can you imagine?
No, I cannot. I mean, that's not a big deal for them with, I don't know, they have $400 billion in the bank?
Or more.
But they've reached some kind of agreement. I don't, why wasn't Apple paying taxes this whole time?
Yeah, they got a sweet deal that turned out to be illegal.
Ah. So now.
That's why they have to hold a bunch of money back.
Mm. So they've reached some agreement. They have to give the money up, and then they have to start bringing money back home also.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. Now, here's a story that's going to be a big problem, by the way. President Trump told Israeli and Arab leaders on Tuesday that he plans to recognize Jerusalem
yes.
as the capital of Israel.
Well, he promised when he ran for president that he would do this to get the Jewish vote. And because everybody in Israel wants, or the, I think mostly Americans, American Jews want the capital of Israel to be in Jerusalem. But it's kind of a messy place. And so they've been reluctant to do this. And it also knows it would piss off the everybody.
Oh, everybody will be mad. There'll be a lot of problems.
Yeah. So they're going to, you know, are they going to really do this, or they look like they're going to do it, or they're going to pretend they're doing it? I can't tell.
I just don't. The question I have is that I don't understand. So if President Trump, U.S. president, says that we recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, what the hell? That's like the Israeli president saying, you know what? We really think that Omaha should be the capital of the United States. That's where we're going for our meetings from now on. I don't get it.
Well, Jerusalem is in the country. It's not like it's outside of Israel.
So is Omaha.
But it's, I don't know. The politics behind this are somewhat elusive. All I know is that Trump promised to do it because a slew of American Jews, and I don't know about the Israelis, what they think about this. All I know, when I was there hanging out with an Israeli guy, and he used to run PC Mag Israel, and he's married, lives in Tel Aviv. We went to Jerusalem to just goof around, and his wife refused to go. He wanted to take her. She said, no, I won't go there. It's too dangerous.
Jerusalem.
To Jerusalem. And this reminds me of people I've known over the years that live in Long Island and refuse to go to Manhattan because it's too dangerous. So I'm not sure who exactly wants to make Jerusalem, really wants Jerusalem as the capital.
Yeah, I mean, it's the holy place, but you have it's the holy place for Jews, Christians, and Muslims. And just leave it there. Leave it as the holy place and be done with it. You know, everybody claims it's theirs, so just leave it at that and everybody think they own it. But not, you know, get us involved in this whole thing. This is just bad politics.
Well,
it's unnecessary.
He was kind of forced to make the promise, and he did, and now he's going to go for it. Mm. Or so it appears.
All right, well, let's leave the rest of the stories till next week because we have a few other things to talk about here. Did you talk about at length your PC Magazine article? Was that earlier?
No, I mentioned it. It's about that commercial, but the commercial that commercial, which you have to see, which has got the Elizabeth Warren as a kid, leads me to believe it. And I've said this before in a different column, but I'm going to say it again. This column, because of that comment at the end, which is the little girl, a 10-year-old or maybe 11, she says, "What's a computer?" Which made me think to myself, "Wait, is she a stupid little girl?" She's 10. She goes to school. She must know what a computer is. Mm-hmm. But she asked the question, what's a computer? No, this is Apple messaging. Uh-huh. And Apple is saying computers are dead. We're going to cancel the Macintosh.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think this is foreboding.
You know, if they would have gone the route of Microsoft, where they basically put the entire OS that is fully operable on the Surface, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, that okay, you know, have at it. You want to do that and you want to make it so there's inputs and you want to do that. But Apple using the iOS, which is it's a crippled OS that can't do all the things that you want it to do.
No, but it's easier to maintain. It costs less. The bean counters would love to drop the Apple Mac OS. I mean, it's got to cost a fortune to keep that thing, you know, modern. I'm thinking this is the time. This is going to be this is the last straw. The Mac is over. And now you can just expect the letters to come rolling in.
Okay. You know, you hate Mac, John. You hate Apple.
That's,
everything.
That's
John,
what they keep telling
you've
me.
You've always hated Apple. You've always had it in for them.
Yeah.
Stupid idiot.
I've never had it in for them.
I know. But you can't mention something about Apple, even if it's good, because they'll think you're saying something bad.
I don't worry about
it. Stay away from it. All right, let's get to the stocks. It's a game that we play. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security at all. It's just simply a fun little time that we have coming up with some ideas on what could be good names to either go long, go short. Horowitz Company, John C. Dvorak, and myself may own any of the securities that are mentioned, and we'll definitely note that. If, in fact, you decide for whatever reason that you want to play along and you want to put your own money at work in this, do yourself a favor and seek professional financial advice before doing so, because it's very risky. Somebody get that guy a cough drop.
Very risky. Yeah, well, yeah, sorry. Okay, so you got any new – well, let's go over what we've got. I've got to start – I'm starting with the picks already. What are we – okay. So we have a lot of green.
Yeah.
The only one that my General Electric hasn't paid off, which is new, but it takes a while. But Roku, that was your short.
Yeah.
That's excellent. It's up 11%.
Yeah, since last week. That's good.
The VBI vaccines, which was an insider's pick, was mine. It's up.
That was stopped out.
Oh, yes, I see. Tesla is dead money. Idera Pharmaceuticals, which is the Baker Brothers.
Baker Brothers.
29% up.
Yep, big.
And that's since the 1st of November. So that's a lot of upside there in a very short time.
Mm-hmm.
And the other big winners seem to be Straight Path Communications is good. Five Below Inc., which was yours. I never heard of this company ever, and it's up 31%. So that's the winner on this chart today.
Five Below is like a dollar store.
Yeah.
But you know the dollar stores don't you go to a dollar store and you're like, how much is this? $2.50. I'm like, what?
Yeah, there's no dollar stuff in there.
What is that?
Yeah.
How does that work? I don't understand. Anyway, Five Below is everything's under $5.
So it's up.
Yeah. Now, I had one stock pick, and I've done this before. This is a very...
Yeah, this is one of your regulars.
Yeah, this, and I should have probably come back at it when it was
$2.20. Why don't you go back to Crocs?
Yeah, well, that was dead in the water. It's gone. It's a done stock. But Stamps.com is still hanging on by a thread on its support. It could drop significantly. You know, it's very thinly traded. I was thinking about actually adding back, as we talked about gold earlier, that triple... Gold miners that I play?
Yes, you love that stock.
It's on some support here. And like you said, if there is any downstroke in the markets, gold should do well. Should I add that?
Yeah, definitely.
I'll add that. That's got to have a 15% stop on that one. So I'll add that one. I'll put this in here. N-U-G-T. Okay, and that's going to be a 15% stop. 15% dash gold. Okay, what do you got?
I've got a couple, and I think they're both good plays. One of them, because some guy, well, one of the directors of the company, just bought $415 million worth of the stock.
Wow.
And that's Eagle, E-A-G-L, Double Eagle Acquisitions.
E-A-G-L, got it.
And they are a screwy company with a price-earnings ratio of 975. They buy and sell. They're like a conglomerate, mm-hmm. a wannabe. They've only been in business. They've only been traded for a couple of years. And the thing is kind of semi-collapsed. The chart is useless. You can look at it and see if you can make it out, anything out. I'm just going by the fact that somebody, I think, is down at least a point. This guy could pick up a lot of money if the thing just goes up 1 point. So maybe that's what we're looking at there. On the next one. This one's a very interesting speculation, and this is based on the fact that Leonard Riggio, the chairman of the board of Barnes & Noble, has bought – he's been buying. I've been watching him. I met this guy once.
From Barnes & Noble? He's bought, you're saying Barnes & Noble?
Yeah, Barnes & Noble.
That's BKS. Was it BN – what is that?
It's BKS.
I think – wasn't that stock up big today?
Oh, well, if it is, then I'm going to get screwed on this deal. But he was buying it at $6.50. But he's been trading it.
No, it wasn't. I take it back. It was not.
Okay, BKS. Mm-hmm. He's been trading it, and I'm watching this, looking at his trades. He's been doing very well for himself, buying and selling. And It's down. It's pretty much as one. This is a support line. A lot of people call it a double bottom at 650. And that's where he picked it up. And I think this might be something because yeah. Barnes & Noble may have something up their sleeve. I mean, they're
be amazing.
They got, you know, it's cheap.
Yeah. I don't know what they could do, but I mean, Amazon's opening up stores, bookstores. Yeah. So maybe
the idea is Amazon buys them.
Oh, just for their stores.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazier things have happened.
I can see the big Barnes & Noble over here in El Cerrito. I can see the sign coming down and the big Amazon logo going up.
Oh, yeah. All right. We'll put that in there. Control V, Control V. And I got to add mine. Where is that? I got to put NUGT. All right. I will add that. And I think that's it for today.
All right. Do it again next week.
All right. We'll talk next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.